Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. If you would, please open your Bible to Matthew chapter number 26. Verse number 69 is where I'll begin reading. We went to Africa this, I think, 2 weeks ago. When we got home, our home was in exactly the same location our home was when I left. Can you believe that? My parents were the same parents, and so were my siblings. But when I got there, it was home, because I know it is home, but it didn't feel like home. You know, over the time, perhaps, when you move from somewhere, for starters, I went back with an accent. Did you guys know I have an accent? Well, like really, when I'm in Africa, I have an American accent. And then when I come in America, I have an accent, an African accent. What's up with that? So people didn't understand what I was saying, partly. And so that, but then the most important thing is that I didn't feel like I was home. I felt like I didn't fit in. And I thought, maybe people have changed. We went to the store, and my wife was in line, and this guy just came and just plopped into her. And he's just standing in line, but pushing against her. And I'm like, are you trying to pass? He says, no, I'm in line. And I go, give him some bubble, you know? It's the American way. And I realize, no, they haven't changed. I have changed. I've become Americanized to think that in line there has to be space between me and the next person. In Africa, that doesn't exist. So if you ever visit Africa, somebody will be just behind you, you know, like pushing against you because they're in line. I felt like as if it wasn't home. I did not fit in. And today, we are going to talk about not fitting in. And hopefully by the end of this morning, that we will learn that it is okay to not fit in. It is okay to not blend in. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 69. The Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. And he said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. Read that with a curse word. he was a fisherman, so it wasn't just a nice oath. He said, I do not know the man. And after a while, he came unto him, they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee, or maketh thee known. According. You see, he had an accent. Then began he to curse and swear. Remember, he's a fisherman. I know not that man. And immediately the cock crew. Let us pray. Abba Father, we come to you this morning, this second Sunday of this year. Father, we pray that your word will speak to us, that your Holy Spirit will use this opportunity to minister truth into us. Father, let today your Spirit do in us on an individual level what no sermon could do, what no orator could ever do, what no preacher would do. May he interpret and align these things to our personal individual lives, that we may be transformed, and that more and more we will look like unto you. We love you today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We live in a society. Maybe let me begin from last week. Last week we talked about having Vision 2020. That our desire for the year 2020 is to have a clarity of who God is, to be able to see Him for who He is, and to live for Him as He is. Amen. So to be able to do that, we are going to have, or as long as we are doing that, as long as we have a desire in our hearts to see God clearly, as long as we have a desire in our lives to live our lives in a way that honors and glorifies God, there are going to be some hindrances. We are living in a society, as I wrote in your bulletin, that advertises who you are supposed to be, that says to you, this is okay. And as long as you're not conforming to this, then you ask, something is wrong with you. But yet the Bible calls us to stand out. The Bible calls us to be different, to be swimming contrary to the current. The Bible calls us to be separate. The Bible calls us to be different. In fact, the Bible says, do not conform to the systems of this world any longer, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not conform, but be transformed. You see, the world has got a shape. The system of the world has got a shape. It has a form. And God is saying to us, I do not want you to be confined to that form of the world, but I would have you be trans. Trans means across. I want you to go across that, to go outside of that. Because I have called you and I have separated you. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be weird. Because when you are not conforming, then you are an anomaly. If you're not conforming, then you are out of place. Like I felt when I went home, I was at home. It was my home, but I did not feel like it was home. Mostly because I have got love here. Mostly because I have family here. I have community here. I have a church here. God says, listen, you are in the world, but not of the world. It means you are here right now, but you do not belong here. You're different. You are an alien. We live in a society that is forcing us to be a certain way, to behave in a certain way, to talk in a certain way. Peter is confronted by such a situation. And the temptation to become just like everybody else becomes so rife. We've talked about this before, that the mistake that Peter did was he was warming himself up in the enemy's camp. Conforming is going to the enemy camp. The Bible says that Peter, who was walking with Jesus, who was a disciple of Jesus, he's going into this camp of the enemy. These are the soldiers. They're the ones that had arrested Jesus. And then the Bible says that he goes to warm himself by the fire. When we conform to the systems of this world, we are essentially warming ourselves in the enemy camp. And that leads us to sin. That leads us to separation from our Father. That derails us from the goal, because God has called us in this world to be the salt of this earth. His Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, then all it has to be done with is to be thrown away. When we conform, when we become like the world, when we blend in with the world, we lose our saltiness. Because that difference in us is the edge that will win the world over to Jesus. The weirdness in us is what will make people say, you know what, you remind me of someone. There is something different about you. That is the Christ in me, you would say. And you say, can I introduce him to you? We are called to stand out. We are called to be different. We are called to be separate. Corinthians chapter number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 17 and 18. Verse number 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord." I believe it should be up there. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Come from among them and be separate. God is calling us to come out from among them and be separate. The challenge that we will face even as we come out from among them is the fact that as we come out from among them, we still have a mandate to reach out to them. So you're coming out from among them, but you're grabbing them as you're coming out from among them. And that is where the challenge comes. How do we find the balance of being separate yet in a place where we can be relatable enough to win them to us? We're in a place where we can be relatable enough to bring them to Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus' hangouts was in the place in the houses of sinners. Yet, do you know one thing about him? The Bible says that he is the only one who was tempted in the same way like us, yet without sin. That he was hanging out in these sinners' hangouts, but he was separate. That he was with them, but yet separate from them. That is the challenge for you as a son, as a daughter of the Almighty God. How do we separate ourselves yet have a bearing or a basis where we are relatable enough to win people to Christ? That we are separate yet we can relate, we can reach out, we can love and bring them to Jesus. How do we remain separated? How do we stand out? Praise the Lord. That is the challenge. I want us to talk about three things and then we will pray and go home. Number one thing that you can do, how to stand out, if you go to the next slide, is going to be the book of Psalms, chapter number 119, verse number 11. Psalms 119, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart, lest I sin against thee." If you are going to have Vision 2020, the clarity of who God is, the clarity of who he is, become effectively separate yet relatable, then you have to become a student of the Word of God. You have to be a person that says, "My life will have an anchor, and that anchor is the Word." That I must have a compass for my life. Because outside of a compass, we talked about it last week, you will get lost. If you don't know where north is, you will get lost. The Word of God is what God has given unto us as a manual for the livelihood of a human. He has given us his Word and he says, "This is going to be your guide." Last night I found that out the hard way. You know, I bought this game. It's called Parcheesi. It's called the classic Indian game. Oh no, the classic game of India. And so, of course, I learned just the basics, you know, guessed the basics of what, how to go about it, just enough so I can play with my daughter. She's 6 years old. And so last night we had some company over, God bless you, and we started playing this game, and apparently some people are smarter than others. Somebody figured out they can read the instructions of the game. And so they read the game, and turns out, because I never read the instructions, I missed out on a very important point. That apparently if you take out somebody from the board, you get to go 20 more steps ahead. And because I never read the instructions, all the time I've been struggling in this little hall of mine, just going around and taking out people and just staying in the same place. That is what happens in the life of a believer that is not studying the word. That you might start walking, but every time you walk, you're still stuck in the same place because you do not know what direction to go. You do not know the benefits that you could have when you can understand the rules of the game. The Bible is the rules of the game. The scriptures that we have is what God has given. And He says, as long as you put your word inside your heart, as long as you hide your word inside your heart, that you will not sin against me. The word was there in the beginning. The word of God is God. Listen to me, children of God. God does not do anything or say anything outside of the word. A few months ago, we talked about the potent of the word. And we say that the word of God can do everything that God can do. Which means if you can hide the word of God in your heart, if you can put the word of God at the center of your life, then you do not have to guess anymore. Come on, you can win the game. You do not have to guess anymore. You can go the 20 steps ahead. You don't have to guess anymore. You can be able to go yards and miles into your destination that God has called for you. Hiding the word of God in your heart. That if you're going to have to be a person that says, that stands out, a person that is in the midst of all this, but still a person who is different from all this, the word of God has got to be a pillar, has got to be an anchor in your life. How are you studying the word? Are you a student of the scriptures? Because listen to me, children of God, as long as you do not study the scriptures, every wind of doctrine will take you down. You will find yourself running back and forth because you do not have a real anchor. You do not have anything that stabilizes you. Listen, you will not know when you're getting lost. Because Jesus Christ spoke and He said this, in the last days there will come false prophets. There will come people that will tell you things that your ears are itching to hear. And He cautions us. He says, it is up to us to study. The Bible says in Corinthians, to be students that do not need to be ashamed. We are studying the word. We are becoming students of the word. We are living the word. When we are living the word becomes flesh. It's called incarnation. It is when we become the manifest word that every lifestyle, that every way that we are living our lives is just manifesting the word of God. When people look at us, they say, there is something different about you. You're weird. I put in the bulletin, people get to tell me a lot that I'm different. They ask me, they tell me, you're not from around here, are you? And I get very offended. I'm kidding. I enjoy it. The word of God, when we hide it in our hearts, when we make it part of who we are separate. We become a city on a hill, the Bible says. We become a lamp that has been lit. Jesus says, can somebody light a lamp and hide it under the stand? Or do they put it on top of the stand? He says, I want you to shine your light that the world may see and glorify your Father. If you are not living differently because of the work that the word is doing inside you, then you're not being a light. Then you're not being the salt of this earth. Be ye weird. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second thing that we're going to talk about is making up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Over and over and over, the Bible challenges us to make up our minds. James chapter number 1, verse 8. James chapter number 1, verses number 8. The Bible says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Make up your mind. Are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus or are you not a follower of Jesus? Because you see, if you're a follower of Jesus, you literally start following Jesus. Child of God, there are places that Jesus does not go. Hello? There are things that Jesus will not say. If you're following Jesus, then you will know that some things are just a no-go zone for the Lord. And that is what sets you apart. Make up your mind. Listen to me. If you are lukewarm, you know, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ reveals himself to John, and he says to the church in Laodicea, he says, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you. Listen, Jesus says this to essentially. He says, listen, if you are hot, that is great. I will use you. If you're cold, I can help you out of the cold. But if you are, he says, I have got nothing to do with you. I will spew you out. I will spit you out. Make up your mind. Misery is when you try to mix the both. Because you see, when you are mixing the both, when you go to the world, you have got too much God in you to enjoy the world. When you go to God, you have got too much world in you to enjoy God. You're miserable. Make up your mind. Joshua chapter number 24. The book of Joshua chapter number 24. This is in most houses on the mat at the door. Well, mostly in mine. And on these plaques on the wall. He says this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua looks at the nation of Israel like I look at the church in Cheyenne today. And I challenge you, make up your mind. Whom are you serving? Whom are you choosing to follow? You either are choosing Jesus or you are not choosing Jesus. There is only two ways, the Bible says. If God had 5,000 legitimate ways to get to heaven, if he did, the devil would have alternative 5 million ways. That is why the Lord decides to make it so simple for us. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, there is one way that is called Broadway. You guys have been to Broadway in any city in the US? It's messy. There is Broadway, and then there is the other way. Says there's only two. You are either choosing this way or you're choosing the other. You are either choosing Jesus or you're not. There is no in between. There will not be negotiation. Somebody asked me, what is the first thing that you will say to God when you see him? And I said, that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the first thing that God will say when he sees me. That should be your concern. What is the first thing that Daddy says to you when he first sees you? Will it be well done, good and faithful servant? Or otherwise? There's only two ways, children of God. Make your mind. Joshua makes it so clear to them. He says, listen, you can either choose to serve the gods of the world. Choose that. As for me, I will choose this way. There's only that and this. You choose one. Make up your mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the scriptures say. Make up your mind. Another challenge comes in the book of 1 Kings. When Elijah is on the mountain. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 21. The Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. The same choice we are faced with today in this generation, in this time. We only have God and otherwise. Make up your mind. If God be God, then choose to follow him. Choose to be a person that is standing out. Choose to be a person that is swimming against the grain. Choose to be a person that will be derided because they chose not to follow the direction of the flow. Praise the Lord. Make up your mind. The third and final thing that we are going to talk about this morning. Choose your friends wisely. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. If you're choosing to go against the grain, then you must choose who you are going against the grain with. Because as long as you continue maintaining the relationships that were dragging you and pulling you back, you will find yourself there. The Bible says, do not be fooled. Don't be deceived. Bad company will ruin good morals. Whoever writes this scripture is aware that there is good morals. Many times we find ourselves too confident of where we are standing. We are like, I stand right in good morals at the very center of it. But I have this friend and that friend and that friend. I've got this relationship and this alliance and this and that. As long as they are bad, as long as they are not walking with you, they are pulling you behind. Listen, there is a spiritual warfare that goes on continuously. If you are with believers, if you are hanging out and fellowshipping with a person that is an outsider, guys, you do not belong here. Jesus says we are here, but we are aliens. There is a warfare that is going on. You can choose to say, you know what? The alliances I'm going to make are going to be alliances that support what it is that I'm running towards. And that is again where the balance comes. How do I be amongst them, yet be different, but at the same time bringing them with me? How do I love well? The Bible says that Jesus Christ grew up both with grace and with truth. How do I love and be gracious at the same time be able to say, this is the truth, this is the way? How do I get that balance to love, but yet have clear demarcations, boundaries? This is where we go. This is as far as you can go. Or this is as far as I can do. Guys, we are living in a world of compromise, and it is encouraged, unfortunately. It is okay if you compromise. You know, the standards for when we were growing up, the standards for sin were like so high. You know what? And then we just started lowering it until we are living in a place where the line is so fine. The prophet Isaiah chapter number 5, he says, woe unto you that call good bad and bad good. Woe unto you. Woe unto us if we find ourselves where the line is so fine that we don't see when we are crossing over it. We have to be clear. For us to be a light, we have to be distinctive. For us to be salt, we have to have a particular flavor. That is why when I go to people's houses and they give me this, there's this other kind of salt that is different, I'm able to tell. I say, this doesn't taste like salt. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. The same 2 Corinthians that we were reading. Verse number 14, the Bible says this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has darkness with light? If you know me, you will know that I am passionate about doing mission work. I'm passionate about reaching out to the lost. And especially the lost that think they are lost. That think that there is no redemption for them. I am really passionate. My heart is there. But even as I do that, I realize that you have to learn what your boundaries are, what your limits are. That even as you get yoked, that you are not unequally yoked together by non-believers. You see, when I was growing up, this scripture was quoted a lot when you were looking for a wife or a husband. When we were growing up, we were told this so many times. You know, and they would hammer into our youth group, you know, do not be unequally yoked together. In my brain, I just summed it up into relationships. I forgot that life is wider than that. But the scriptures are much wider and much bigger than that. Even as we go out and become the light. Listen, I tell people this. Somebody asks me, can I go back to the drug house I used to go and use drugs to preach there? And many times they tell me, Jesus used to hang out with non-believers. And I tell them, well, as long as the moment you set foot in there, they all give their lives to Christ, you're good. Which we know won't happen. Not many times. So with wisdom, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Jesus says, be as wise as serpents, but as humble as doves. Which means that as you're walking, as you're choosing to say, I'm going to fellowship with brother so-and-so today. You're being wise in where you're meeting with brother so-and-so. You're being wise in how you're fellowshipping with them. You're being wise in saying, I will bring another brother to be able to meet because I know my limits. I know, you know, in wisdom, God is guiding you. So you're not unequally yoked together by an unbeliever. Yet you're reaching out and bringing them to Christ out of love. And what a testimony when they hear you say, you know, I decided to come with brother so-and-so because I have my vulnerabilities. What a testimony would it be when they start understanding, you know what, it is a walk and I'm going to be walking besides brother Dan even as we go to heaven. That he's not going to throw me to the dogs. Do not be unequally yoked together by non-believers. Be ye separate. Stand out. There is a person in the Old Testament, as I close, that learned the hard way. His name is Jehoshaphat. You see, Jehoshaphat was a man who loved God. He was a follower of God. The Bible says he did that which was right before God. Remember the man whom God told, you know what, stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord? And the Bible says they woke up in the morning and the enemy camp, there was confusion and they killed everybody. They killed each other. That was Jehoshaphat. He's the man that God was just using exponentially, greatly. He does great in all his years as a king. But at the very end of his tenure is what we are going to read here in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. Verse number 31, I'll read. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. Well, yes. I talk funny. I'm weird. Praise the Lord. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of God. This is Jehoshaphat. This is his testimony. He did what was right before God, just like many of us today. However, howbeit, or verse number 33, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, verse number 34, first and last, behold, they were written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this, after all this awesomeness, after all this coolness, verse number 35, and after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. So this is Jehoshaphat. God has called him and has chosen him over as a king over Judah. And he chooses to follow his father's way. For Asa, who is his father, the king, did everything that God had commanded. Prior to Asa, the king that was there was a wicked man who had erected places for worship of other gods. And as Asa finishes his reign, having lived a life that is worthy of his calling, having lived after the God's heart, the son Jehoshaphat takes over as king of Judah. And as he takes over, he does everything right. But then there are some things that he didn't take care of. The things in the higher places, they were never taken down. Uh-oh. I think people see where I'm going with this. So he's done everything perfectly. But he does not take care of some things. Some things that are easily going to beset you. As the word of God continues ruling your life and guiding you through the year 2020, as you continue saying, I want to see clearly what is in the heart of God, there are some things in your life that you need to address. Some things in high places that shouldn't be. Some things that generations over you before you that had placed in places they ought not be. That is why in prayer you're saying, Father, be there anything inside me that will hinder the move of your spirit, that will hinder the work, your work inside me. Father, take care of this. Deal with these small things. The things that Jehoshaphat neglects. And then the Bible says, after all this, after living life worthy of God, after doing everything, he at the very end of his life, he joins himself with the king of Israel, Ahaziah, who is a man that did wickedly. And this is in a business dealing. I was talking to Lee today, and he tells me he's a businessman. He makes a business partnership with Ahaziah. He joins hands. He becomes unequally yoked together with a non-believer. He has company of friends that are not walking according to the way of God. He has communion with a people that are not a people of God. He touches the unclean thing. And so they come into a business agreement. I'm going to finish reading because I'll just keep going. Verse number 35, and after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in a non-believer to build ships. And back then, Tarshish was the New York of our time. It was the greatest city in the world. It was the Dubai. It was like, when I go there, I will be successful in business. He doesn't consult God. He joins up with a non-believer. And they build these ships. We are going to see that these ships don't go anywhere. Because that's what happens to you. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in a place called that. And the second one, the Bible says, then Eleazar, the son of Dodover, well, that name, of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken thy works, and the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish, literally. Listen to me, children of God. If we choose to say, you know what, I'm going to do everything right. I am going to make the word of God, the light of my path in the year 2020. And that I'm going to make up my mind and live for God. Like Jehoshaphat did. But at the end, if you're going to surround yourself with a group of people, with company that is compromised, your ship will not fail. It will not sail. It will never get to Tarshish. So if we come back and we are saying, I want to live this life, that the year 2020 will be that year where I live for God. Three things. The word of God. Your decision to live for God. Making up your mind. And the third, the kind of company that you give, that you have, that you surround yourself with. Let us stand up and pray. I want to pray for some people this morning. Just to be clear, as I call this altar call, I should be on this side. That's how I feel. because I know that more than any one of you, I need it. I need to be living a life that's worthy of God. I need to make the word of God an anchor for me. That I need to make up my mind. Because in more than one time, I didn't do that. Sometimes I have friends, not wicked friends, just even good Christian friends, that make me doubt what the Lord has said about my life or that the Lord has done for me. You might be here this morning and you're saying, I want to be on this side of the pulpit. I need that prayer as well. Because of those things I've mentioned, maybe you're falling short in any one of those three categories that we talked about this morning. I want you to pray with me even as I pray. I want you to say, Lord, I am that person that has not hidden your word in my heart. And I've messed up a lot because I didn't have a compass. Maybe you are one of them that says, for me, it is my mind, man. I'm double-minded in many ways. That sometimes when I know things are going great, I know it's the Lord. When things start going south, I start doubting God. I start questioning the reality of God and who he is and what he can do. Or maybe you are the guy who says, I've done all that good stuff and I've done it right. But I have these blasts from the past. I have these friends that hit me up every once in a while. And when that happens, I find myself doing things that I ought not to. I would like you to pray for me, to pray with me even as I pray with you. Take a moment. Lord Jesus, as we stand here as a church, we reckon that we have sinned against you in many ways. Father God, in these three particular ways, in one way or the other, Lord, we have failed. Today we stand here in humility asking you, Father, forgive us. Cleanse us and purify us by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Father, even as we repent, we stand in the gap for Christians all over this city and say, Daddy, we are sorry that we have failed you. Abba, Father, we pray today that as you have brought this knowledge to us, that you will enable us, my Father God, to make those decisions in our lives that will align with your word, that will align with your will, that we will change and turn around, that we will go back to being the city, the cities on the hill, that we will let your light shine through us, that the world will see and glorify you, that Father God, we will go around having stood out, being a people that stand out for your glory. That we will not be forced like Peter by the circumstances to deny you, to deny the reality of what you have done in our lives, so that just to feel comfortable with our surrounding. That Father God, we will stand up and be weird that you may receive all glory. We love you this hour, and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.